pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we want to express our gratitude and appreciation of yourself, Lord, knowing that you yourself have come and descended, Lord, with a shout in order to bring about the resurrection, in order to bring about the gathering together, in order to bring about the rapture, Lord, to the wedding supper, the crowning of yourself, Lord, when you become incarnate again. And we thank you, Lord, for that opportunity which will usher in the period of time that the eye does not know anything of, not having seen it, perhaps a little glimpse of this earth, making us realize something greater on the other side, this being the negative. Felt little of your presence, Lord, at times, and seen a little manifestation, which indeed was great manifestation, but yet how much more it is going to be when we see you face to face in the flesh. And Father, these things are wonderful. We pray, Lord, that we shall not do despot to that spirit of grace that's among us now, that's going to take us there, but in reverence, humility, and great awe, begin to be more sober and more understanding than ever before. Help us, Lord, to enter into the struggle that their prophet entered into in this last day when he stood before the people to declare the riches of the infallible word of Almighty God, taking his stand that branded him a heretic, a fool, and everything else. May we, Lord, be a part of that glorious congregation, not big, we know, but small, but very intensely wonderful, who took their stand as heretics in front of the world, Lord. Help us to bear with pride whatever comes our way, Lord, not being ashamed of you, the word, at this time, but standing upright, Lord, just not trying to make a defense from you, but letting you so live in us that we become a defense. Father, help us in all these things as we study this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're taking number 5 of the message, the Anointed Ones of the End Time, and we recall that last night we began with Moses, who was a true prophet of God, having the true revealed doctrine of God and being opposed by another prophet with the same anointing, but false to the very anointing that he possessed. And this portion of Scripture was given to us as a perfect type or example of what has happened in our day, except that Brother Branham was not confronted by any one single prophet, but his message was attacked by many such anointed ones, that is to say, having the same Spirit of God upon them, but being false to the anointing, false to the truth. In other words, they are false prophets. And as Peter so aptly put it, that whereas there were false prophets in ancient times, there are now a proliferation of false teachers who, of course, are following the false prophets. And we were at page 17 and paragraph 68, and we'll just go over it briefly. Balaam was anointed with the same spirit that was upon Moses. Now, that is something so hard for people to understand. They say, well, a false prophet would have to have a false spirit. Wrong. His spirit, of course, is false to the word of God. That is to say, his spirit. I'm not talking about the anointing. But he is entirely false to it. But you must realize it is the same spirit. That's why it is very easy to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. That's why we must not call any gift of the devil, although there are gifts of the devil, such as discernment is of God, but you can see that mediums and those that are in spiritism can literally do the same thing. And then there are others who, with the Spirit of God, the genuine anointing, will do what Brother Branham did, but they'll make mistakes because it can't follow through. See, because they're off the word. And, of course, discernment is strictly for a true word prophet, because the Bible says in the end time here, in Acts, the 3rd chapter. Let's go ahead and take a look at that so that, you know, we can just take our time because we always do anyway. So we might as well slow down instead of like last night, rapid fire. All right, it's the 3rd chapter of the book of Acts, and we're reading the middle of verse 19, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's this great healing revival. And he shall send Jesus, which was appointed or preached in advance or appointed unto, proclaimed in advance unto you. Now watch, whom the heavens must receive. Now it says that God, who brings about this great healing revival, is bent on sending Jesus. Right? Now now listen carefully. That's what it says. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ. So that he is not Jesus Christ. It's another he. Now that's why we say the Lord shall himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and we shall meet the Lord in the air. What Lord descends? He who will send Jesus the Christ. What Lord do we meet in the air? Jesus the Christ, the physical, whom the heavens must receive or retain until the restitution of all things. Now it tells you that the great revival, which presages, omens, guarantees the literal coming of the body, there is a lapse. And that lapse will bring about the restoration of the Word. In other words, it's not blip, blip. Many people would like to think the Lord shall ascend the shout, blip. Meet the Lord in the air, blip. No, no blips. Sorry. We saw from 1933 to 65, 32 solid years of manifestation of the presence and increasing thereof. No blips. Just coming more and more into church. More and more into evidence. More and more. And it says, at that time, he still does not come, so we meet him. There is a period of restoration, right? Now, that's what it says. I don't care what anybody else says. That's what it says. Amen. Hang the theologians. They're going to go to the lake of fire anyway. Don't ever put your trust in what the books say, brother, sister. That's all passe. That's gone. That's dead wormwood. That's rotten. Table's full of vomit. You like vomit? Help yourself. I can eat a fly if I don't know he's there. But I think I can smell vomit any time. Yuck. The dog to his vomit. No dogs here, I trust? Better not be. Sheep don't eat vomit. Mm-mm. The heavens must retain him. They got to keep him there until there's a restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Well now, some would say, well, God has got to restore those things that God said would be restored. Well, if you're going to believe that, then Jesus can't come till the end of the millennium. Right? That's right, exactly. So he's not talking about that. Spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets is the word. That's what it's got to be, because that's what they spoke. See? Which was the revelation of God. In other words, what was spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets was the revealed truth by God. It must be restored. And you know the Greek can't do it. No, from textually or from their own genetics. Now, he says, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever shall say unto you. Now, you cannot take that back to ancient history because it is referring categorically to this. So what you're seeing is the Omega of the Alpha. And you're seeing a prototype for the true fulfilling of all types at this end time. Because Moses is the prototype of I will not speak to you anymore except by a prophet. And it's got to come from among the brethren. It's got to be, and if it's going to be to the Gentiles, it's going to have to be certainly a born again. And if it comes to the Jews, it's going to be with the born again message. So there's not much difference. Actually, there won't be any. Now, him you shall hear in all things what he shall send you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people when, at this time, just literally before Christ puts his kingdom on earth physically, he in a physical body. Now watch. See, starts with Moses here as your original. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Now, Samuel did not speak. Then what is he in there for? Because of discernment. The prophet judge. With discernment, literally judging the people. The Lord shall judge his people. He could go to God and get the answers that was contained in what Moses brought. Samuel did not add or take one word at any time. So therefore, we're talking about at the end time, a prophet comes in, like Samuel, not bringing us a word, but a revelation. And he will be judged. Now, yea, and all the prophets, and Samuel the father, as many as spoken have likewise foretold of these days. What days? Two sets of days. The beginning and the ending. You are the children of the prophets. Okay? You are the children of the prophets. Who gets turned back to the fathers? The children. So he's talking now of this. The bride. Both Jew and Gentile. Although swings to the Gentiles almost exclusively. And of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his son, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of your iniquities. Now it says he was raised up unto the Gentiles first, and Peter, speaking at Pentecost, says, God raised him up after you killed him. Now he's going to be raised up to the Gentiles. How is it done? Matthew 4, Matthew 12. And they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh. Now, I know the theologians will not agree with that. Nobody's going to agree with us except the prophet. And I will not raise my hand and say, like Junior did, that he'll admit that he was wrong and I was right. Brother Branham will say, I was right, and you caught it, you're right too. And I'm confident in that. I have no doubt in my mind that we are saying the exact truth here. Okay. Anointed with the same spirit that was upon Moses. What was the difference? The teaching of Moses was perfect. Then at the end time, it will be perfect again. 100% the revelation of God. The Bible said here in 2 Peter that it was the teaching of Balaam that Israel received that God never did forgive unpardonable sin. Blaspheming the Holy Ghost is the unpardonable sin. At the same time, rejecting light is the unpardonable sin because you haven't any efficacy left for you in the blood. We showed you that in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. So let us take our time and look at it again. Verse 26, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. So that tells you that there has been a sacrifice for sin and you turned down the truth. So the sacrifice doesn't do you one bit of good. Now you may be sitting here this morning priding yourself and breathing all about the blood, your sins forgiven, and say, ha ha, I don't have to have it, I've got this. You lie in the face of God, you're blaspheming the Holy Ghost. You say you're not, I say you are. Let's find out a judgment day, because I'll stand there, you'll be there too. Anyone in the sound of my voice in this building or outside on tapes, I will stand at the white throne and give account of myself. And if you believe me and I'm wrong, I will have to take it for you. And if I'm right and you don't believe me, you've got witness against you. Now, if you think I'm fooling, you're wrong. Because I'm telling you the truth. The white throne is a literal judgment with judge and witnesses by millions. And as far as I can see, and I don't know that I'm right, the word in the Greek is millennia, not millennium, which is singular. So it could take literally thousands of years, though I don't know, to go through billions of people who will answer for every single deed done in the flesh. Now, you may think, well, that's not going to hit me. That, you just wait around and find out. I've got no trouble. This is a great age to sneer, and this is a great age to laugh, and this is a great age to think you're going to have fun and be rebellious and everything else. It's fine. Go ahead. That's your business. If I wasted my life believing it's true, that's my tough luck. You go your way, I go my way. It's that simple. I don't write hurt in my kids. I don't write hurt in anybody. It's exactly the way you look at it. It says right here, that if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Now, you know as well as I do, there's not one of us here that doesn't sin willfully after we're born again. Because we don't have to do it, and we do it. And Pharaoh didn't have to do it, but he did. And Stalin didn't have to do it, but he did it. And Hitler didn't have to do it, but he did it. And they're going to be accountable before God. I don't care what you or anybody else says. They're accountable. Absolutely. So therefore, in spite of the sacrifice, you do sin. Then what is it you sin against? Not the sacrifice, but the word. How? By disbelief. Not that you can put this word into full effect. Look, my brother, my sister, if you're anticipating putting this word into full effect, let me tell you something. You are never, never going to make it. Because salvation is of the Lord. You've got one thing in your soul, and that's your choice, to believe or disbelieve. And this is what comes in here. But a certain fearful-looking fore of judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. The adversaries of what? The sacrifice? No, the word. Israel was not an adversary against the sacrifice. They were adversaries against the word. Then they destroyed the word, of whom of which the whole Bible was speaking. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two witnesses. He that despised the word, in spite of the sacrifice, died. Now, what's he talking about? The disbelief when they came out of Egypt under the blood. Not the fact that they sinned and were disobedient. It was unbelief. Just a minute. The 10th chapter goes to the 11th chapter. Right? Then you read the 11th chapter. And that's the subject of faith brought in there. Every single one of them. And then it tells you what they went through for their faith. Everyone was a sinner. And then the 12th chapter goes on and warns you about your disbelief. So it's not a matter of whether you obey the word of God and sit here. First of all, well, you know, my heavens, I never told a lie. Well, there isn't one of you sitting here hasn't told whoppers. And you know, right in your heart, you make up fabrications. Maybe you don't tell them, but you're making up fabrications. Oh, come on, break down and be honest before God. It isn't going to hurt you. It's going to help you. So that's the trouble with people. They don't want to be honest. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who had trampled underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he sanctified an unholy thing, and had done desperate to the Spirit of grace. Now what's he talking about? Everybody wants to throw that on to the blood. You don't throw that on to the blood. As though they trample it underfoot and say they don't accept it. It's what it is. They don't accept the word. Then you don't have any sacrifice. You trample it underfoot when you turn down the word. That's what you're talking about. You see, I don't believe that. All right, you're going to believe it. Now read John the 3rd chapter if you've got any you know, spiritual assessment at all. You understand the words at all. All right, God so loved the Word, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but everlasting life. That's a cue. That's what it's about. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Exactly right. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Doesn't say anything about the blood right there now. It says he doesn't believe in the name. The blood's been shed. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. In other words, the name of Jesus is revealed by the revealed word, and you don't got it unless you got revealed word. Or I don't know what I'm talking about. If I don't know what I'm talking about, then why does the Bible say it? Cat is cat and horse is horse. That's an organ. That's a piano. That's a stand. That's a picture. That's an easel. That's a cross. It's a microphone. Camera. Well, suddenly I don't have to learn that. That's not a camera. That's really a pussycat. Now, let's not make God stupid. Amen. Let's begin to understand this message and read the Bible the way we've been taught to read it. Because we've been entirely blinded until this time. Words have not been words to us. They've been doctrine of God knows what. Doctrines of devils.
doctrines of witchcraft, doctrines of sorcerers. When Brother Branham said Baptist meant the Pentecost of witchcraft, I endorse with a hearty amen, because that's exactly the truth. I read it to you. This is the condemnation in spite of the blood, in spite of the sacrifice, in spite of what God did, period. This is the condemnation. Why? Because man had a perfect garden, a perfect Eden, and he had not a righteousness, but he had a perfect innocence, and turned down the word. What was the light at that hour? Don't eat. Now, what happened from then on? The sacrifice covered the sin. And from that time on, God began declaring his word. And every time they turned down the word, the sacrifice did not avail. How can anybody this morning claim to be under the blood if God has said shed light? You say, well, I don't believe God's shedding it. Let's find out if God's supposed to shed light. Let's go to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. 25th verse. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. If they escape not or refuse him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn from him that not speaketh, but is from heaven. Why? Because the thunders are on the earth. They aren't in heaven. Right? Right. Revelation chapter 10. The mighty one came down. It was on earth. So let's not carry away stupidity. It says he that speaketh. And it doesn't say speaking from heaven. It says that that one from heaven is speaking. That word speaketh in there is not in the Greek. It's interpolated. Whose voice then shook the earth when he was on earth. That's true. It did. But now he had promised, saying, yet once more I shall not shake the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifies removing of those things that are shaken as the things which are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. At the time of the kingdom, somebody from heaven is going to speak. And he's going to speak on earth because that's where he spoke before. And it's all going to tumble down. That's why Brother Branham, with prophetic projection, could talk of the judge now and put him at the white throne, speak right now, time and eternity blended, and just move us right through as though nothing stopped us and nothing was in the way. And we just went from A to Z without going through B, C, D, F, G, and the rest of it. Because time and eternity is blended. Don't think it hasn't, brother, sister. You are on a non-stop merry-go-round. I don't care what you think. You're on a roller coaster and you're not getting off. You may think you are, but you're entirely wrong. You don't understand the show. And if you think I'm wrong, then you get up here and preach and tell the truth. And let me sit at the white throne, stand by idle and say, just go to it, folks, go to it. Let them take the rap or anything else. And I solemnly declare, I have a gift with the word of God. And you do what you want with it. And I'm not afraid of the judgment. I'm afraid of the veil, but I'm not afraid of that word. Not for 1 minute. That's why I say, you go to sleep on me at your own risk. You walk out of here at your own risk. Because I'm not fooling. I'll fool outside this pulpit. I'll be rough and tough up here outside. I'll treat you graciously. Be more than a brother to you. Up here is my business. And I'll tell it the way it is, too. May God give me strength and ability to stand the test of time. I don't know, because I can't boast in myself, but I can boast in this word. This word is right. Come out of the mouth of a fool. It's right. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom. Wherefore? Comes out of this. At Camel, let us have grace, the message of grace. Whereby we may serve God, accept your reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. He came right down there, consuming fire. Picture taken. Came down under the seventh seal, Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Opened the seven thunders, of which it says, he that is just is just still, he that is unjust is unjust still, he that is holy is holy still, righteous still, filthy, filthy still, it's all over. Whether you know it or not. Now you're looking for something to happen. It's already happened. You're looking for some great thing to put you there. You're already put in or out. Well, I don't think so. You think again. You think again. You're in line with the Pentecostals who couldn't see God and met him in their suit and said it's a thing in your spirit. The big shot in Florida, I know that he said it. His son-in-law is this guy that wrote a mansion over the hilltop. What's his name anyway? He married that guy's daughter. They end up in a divorce. She cutting the hair and wearing slacks. And her father, they came from Cleveland, went to West Palm Beach. Hollingsworth or something his name was. And he sneered and said concerning Brother Branham. He told his congregation not to go, wouldn't let his pianist, his organist, play in our church. I mean, you're in the judgment day, so Brother Branham. Sold herself out to a Pentecostal Trinitarian who said, let the cat of the bag, so William Branham has a familiar spirit. That man will go to the lake of fire categorically. Amen. Not leave the judge. Either, listen, if he's right, I'm going to the lake of fire. With just one request, may it be sudden. But it won't. Because I'll be there a long time. Watch your scripture, brother, sister. And don't get carried away with your nonsense. What the prophet said was correct. Balaam had a genuine 100% anointing of the same spirit that Moses had. And he was 100% false to that great anointer. Leading the children of Israel to curse, cursing the God. You heard I said cursing? You believe it? You better believe it. It's Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Let's read it again. Brother Branham took 80% of his time on this material. I would take 80% of my time. You can't, I don't want to act like the prophet, talk like the prophet, but I want to preach like the prophet in the sense it's the same word and take the same time. Leaving the doctrine behind. Why? Because it better be left behind. Because there's an enlightenment coming. The one that speaketh, the one that came from heaven. The one who knows what he's talking about because he's the one in human form shed his blood. And now the life of the blood is right here, the man himself. For it's impossible for those who were once for all enlightened, that's what the Greek says, and having tasted of the heavenly gift, being made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and taste the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, having fallen away, they can never repent. Blood won't do you one bit of good. Seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. An open shame. This to an open shame. Ha! What's that? Ha! What's that? And William Branham discerned by the devil. Well, he had a great ministry, yeah, but he thought he was a prophet and people got him puffed up until he thought he was somebody. What do those birds think they are sitting in judgment on a man a million times higher than he? Than they are. We got smart men sitting here. Engineers. I don't especially have respect for engineers. But I got respect for talent where talent belongs. Do you think I'm going to compete with Gene or with Dave or even Joe here is not really an engineer, but he knows a whole lot more than most of doing it. And there's Joe sitting there. Got more engineer than I was thinking. Two Joes. Brother Faison is it? Is an outstanding engineer. These other men are outstanding engineers. Now, do you think I'm going to compete with them? What tiddlywink pastor then can compete with a prophet of Almighty God? There's your answer right there. They're not afraid to do it. With their great swelling words. Now, when it comes to engineering, these boys could snow me. But, you see, the preacher can't snow a prophet. Now watch. And put an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that come upon it. Now we are the husbandry of God. We are the earth. We are the farming. And we got to bring forth some kind of a seed that's in us. It can be wheat or tare, herb or briar. Bringeth forth earth meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth briars, now what are you bearing this morning? And that bearing, the fruit is word. We'll get more and more into it. Remember, it is word. It is not fruit, as you think in the sense of character. It is nigh unto cursing whose end is to be burned. There's that burning again in there. Now, where is your sacrifice on the ground that you turned down truth? See, that's what we're trying to get across here. That people simply don't understand in the Exodus, they came out under the blood and they died because they listened to Balaam instead of Moses. It wasn't the doing of what Moses said because they'd already done what Moses said. They came under the blood. But it came under the teaching then of Balaam. What was the teaching of Balaam? Well, we can find out what Balaam's teaching was. They never were forgiven. Not one of them got saved. Though they had come out under the blessings of God. They came out of Israel under the blessings of God, and so do the people that believe, say they believe this message, also come out under the blessings of God, because Hebrews 6 is 100% of Brother Branham, because God testified by a vision showing him that he was the one doing this. You say, well, anybody could have a convenient vision. Oh, go ahead, blaspheme. Who gives a rip? I'm sick and tired of these mealy-mouthed birds. Just because they can't perform, nobody else can perform. Merciful God, have, I can't ask God to have mercy on this generation. Why would I? If he has mercy on them, then I've lost his mercy. Because I'm a believer. Forget it. I'm not going to give my gold coin for your fool's gold. Though they had come out under the blessings of God and saw the hand of God moving by this mighty prophet and saw it exactly vindicated by God, and because another prophet came in with a contrary teaching and disputed with Moses and tried to prove to the people that Moses was wrong. They took a contrary teaching. Let's keep reading. See, and Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, he's not mentioned there, but he's one of them, and many of them agreed with Balaam and taught the children of Israel to commit fornication, to go after the organization that says we're all the same. Now, there you are. People say, well, you guys that believe in William Branham, you ain't got no more than we got. We all got the same thing. You see, you just went dodie and haywire. And I say, hold it. We don't got the same thing. Because I've left my spiritual philanderings behind. I've divorced it. To me, it's dead. Saying we're all the same. Whether we're Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, and Pentecostal, what's more, we're all the same. We're not the same. We are a separated people, holy unto the Lord, dedicated to the Word and the Spirit of God to bear fruit of His promise of this day. And the fruit of the promise of this day is what? The Word. And we've got it. Okay. I read Revelation 22:10-12 last night, showing that this was under the seals. Now let's go to Matthew 24, just for a second here, because that's what Brother Branham took this from. Matthew 24. And 39, I suppose I'm looking at. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. Now the presence of the Son of Man is going to come at that particular time. And it's very strange that everybody is acquainted with the times of Noah and the times of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they can't realize that at the time of Noah there was a great prophet who built the ark that saved the people. And they can't realize that God came down at the time of Sodom and took care of Abraham, who with Sarah at that time would bring forth the Son in flesh after the burning. Now you show me one theologian or church that teaches that. A lot of them got the guts to realize Roman Catholic Church is the Antichrist Church and the old Pope is the Antichrist himself. Bob Jones University and a bunch of Baptists. Independents, but the Southern Baptists welcome it. And was said years ago, the Southern Baptists would belong to the Catholics, and they do. You talk about a people talking about the blood and rejoicing in the Holy Ghost. They do. They're not far behind the Pentecost. They're right with them. They're lost. Because the Catholic Church is the first organized church. And they take in everything under God's high heaven. Watch them how they went to South America and Mexico. They forced the natives to become so-called Christians, and they brought their worship with it. to practice voodoo on the islands and everything else. And the Protestants are right with him. So shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one taken, one left. Two men grinding at the mill, one taken, one left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come, but know this. If the good man had known, you know, he would have done something and not had his home broken up. Be therefore ready, such an hour, you think not the Son of Man cometh. So what we're looking in here, the 42nd verse especially. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now it tells you, you won't know the hour your Lord's coming. But what does it say above there? It says, at the time of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah, the presence of the Son of Man or the appearing will be on earth. And that's what you watch for. And if you caught it, you've made it. And if you haven't caught it, you're lost. Because you didn't know and you never will know. You say, why do you believe that? Don't you put that way down? I don't put that way down at all from reading Acts, the third chapter. I don't put a way down there any reading the rest of the Bible. It's the appearing that people are completely confused about. And Brother Branham said so in the rapture, conditions of the rapture. He said, my revelation is not your revelation. He said, this is the revelation the bride is waiting for. And without revelation, you haven't got any faith. You just think you have. So here's what we're looking at. Organization hasn't got a thing to do with it. Now, my brother, sister, it says they had come out under the blessings of God. I want to ask you a question. Back in the time of Moses, did anybody see him come out? Oh, yes, they did. Pharaoh did, and he ran to get him. Who stood by and watched us come out of the organization? Baptists, Methodists, Pentecostal, and Catholics. Who fought William Branham? The closer he was to Pentecost, they fought him the worst. The Jesus only fought William Branham. Because they said, well, if he was a prophet, he'd come to us. You talk about Pentecostal arrogance. You talk about spiritual ignorance. How would a prophet come to them? I'm going to tell you something. If you want a Roman Catholic spirit, you join the oneness people. They got it. I know what I'm talking about. If you want to see somebody beat you over the head and treat you worse than a Roman Catholic priest, you join the oneness church. And I got some of you sitting here this morning know what I'm talking about. I know Pentecostal oneness preacher in Evansville. Poor old Don Johnson, he couldn't stand it. He finally got out. Because the money came in, and of course he took all the tithe, and she had so much money, she was buying diamond necklaces for her poodle. You think she'll make it? Not because she what she does. She hasn't got a prayer. Because you can tell what's behind the whole thing. She'd buy a very expensive dress and wear it one time. And they beat the people over the head. You make one move to go anywhere, you throw you out or chastise you. You talk about shunning. You know, I'd be shunned, you'd be shunted. The boxcar and the siding. Don't you talk to me about Catholics. I'll take my chance with a good old Catholic any day of the year. 500 of them against one Pentecostal. Or run rabid Baptist or any of the rest of them. Because I know at least one thing, the Catholic's going to bump you off. At least they got to that place. Don't trust these Protestants. Bishop Stanley. He's a great Catholic bishop, recognized. Stood in Brother Branham's meetings, and he said, hold steady, son, use my Bible. Bishop Stanley hates Brother Branham with a vengeance and would do everything to destroy even the mention of his name. I ask you a question. If this man was so inconsequential and so of the devil, why did he bug people? I can't bug anybody, really, because I don't get anywhere. I've got no vindication, nothing to do except shooting my mouth off, so to speak. I'm not even a Chihuahua dog taking a crack at a big St. Bernard. Brother Branham was a Sherman tank, and they hated him. And they still hate him, and they will hate him. I want to tell you something. Do you read your Bibles? Do you believe what it says? I'm going to challenge you. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, you and I? Well, then why didn't you come and do it? You said you did. Jesus, you're a liar. No, he said, I gather them through my prophets. There's not a word that a prophet didn't bring, but is used. That word is used to bring them in, to gather them together. My sheep know my voice. They know my word. John turned to hear the voice. It was a scriptural voice. He wanted to find out what sound it was making, whether it's right or not. Behold, he said, your house is left unto you desolate. For I send you shall not see me henceforth. You say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Didn't say that he was coming. It says the one that comes in the name of the Lord. And you'll call him blessed. You never called John the Baptist blessed. But there's a guy going to come. That man you will call blessed. And be too late for the majority except 144,000. Listen, I want to read. you serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. A prophet is the man who brings the revealed word of God, the wise man who is the one who can teach it, the scribe who will simply write and say, that's all I know, I'm writing it to you and reading it to you. And some of them you'll kill and crucify, some you'll scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come the righteous blood, all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. All shed on the earth. You say, does that take in what Pharaoh shed? Ask yourself a question. He said, all the blood. All the blood. I don't understand it all, but I can read. From the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom he slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all of these things shall come upon this generation. And upon this generation here that turns down him that speaketh, the one that came from heaven, they'll account for all the blood from Abel to this point, which will bring the great tribulation and 100% eradication, where men will gnaw their tongues in pain and curse God and want to die, and they won't die. And Brother Branham said, I would sooner go through the oath of Knights of Columbus against the Protestant that believes in Jesus Christ. I would sooner suffer that than 5 minutes of the great tribulation. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just letting you know what's going to happen. I'm not scared. I don't know what it is to be afraid because I'm immune to it on the grounds that I have a hope. Why would I have a hope and then be fearful? Why would I have a knowledge of Scripture and then be denied? Why would I stand with the elect of God on the principle of set forth here in the Word and have a fear? No, he said that by the Holy Ghost they're to bear the fruit of his promise of this day, and you're not of them. Now, the thing is, you're going to bear fruit. It's not that you are the fruit this time. It's you're going to bear fruit. Fruit bearing fruit. What is the fruit to bear? The Word. It is the Word. Now he said, I know that's awful strong, but that's the truth. Just the same. I'm dedicated to a service in the last days. Now that's why priests doing God a service. These false anointed are going to say, I'm doing God a service. Brother Brand said, I'm doing a service. Who's vindicated your service? Read it again. I know that's awful strong, but that's the truth. Just the same. I'm dedicated to a service in these last days. Come out from amongst it. Now, the voice in Revelation 18:4 is the voice that says, come out from among it. In other words, the service that Brother Branham did to bring us out is the ministry of Elijah, fulfilling Elijah 4, 5, and 6. John 14 and 12, the greater works of vindication, and 15 and 24, to prove blindness and let sin remain. All right? Let's go back to 15 and 24 in Matthew, and I've quoted it many times. He said, if I had not done the works that other men did, they had not sinned. I beg your pardon, it's John, not Matthew. If I had not done the works that no other man did, they had not sinned, but now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. Now watch it. He did not say, when you saw me, you saw the Father at that point. He was talking about the works. And he said, if I had not done the works which no other man did, they had not sinned. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. In other words, the man standing there was not God per se. God was in him. But the works that he did were of God. And when they saw the works, they saw God. And when we saw William Branham doing those works, we saw God. You can say what you want. If you can't come that far, you haven't come far enough. You're still on the outside. You got to come to the place where you literally jeopardize yourself, so to speak. You take what people don't like me to say, the calculated risk of your faith. I believe it, I stand with it, and I'll say it. And if I die, I'm stuck. I said it. Remember, your thoughts echo in heaven a whole lot stronger than your words do, too. You might try to say a thing to cover up, but it won't do any good. Now, the teaching of Balaam, not the prophecy of Balaam, that was all right. That was God. The prophecy was God. Balaam was trying to serve God, in other words, right? Trying to be a servant. Sure. In his own way. With his own idea, his own word. Sure, he knew his prophecy was right. No problem. The prophecy of Balaam was exactly right. Because he couldn't speak anything else. Do you believe that? If you don't believe that, you don't know what a prophet is. See, you're judging the prophet by yourself. You say, well, I can say something different. I can too. But I've heard myself say something I didn't mean to say, and I didn't say it. Something inside of me said it. You say, well, that makes you a candidate for God or the devil. I make no apology. I'm a candidate for God or the devil. Where do you stand? Do you think you're any different? Oh, you're different, I suppose. Well, that's fine. I'm glad to know you different people. Would you like to leave now or later? Because we're different. True. You can be a complete mouthpiece of God and be totally lost. This man could not say different. And it's proven by the fact that when Isaac, old and tarnished, and couldn't see. He was fooled by his son Jacob, because he felt the goat skin on his hand. And he said, man, that's the voice of Jacob, but he's got the smell of Esau. He's got that skin also. He said, I guess maybe, he said, I'm just a little confused in my old age, and I'll prophesy. Now, he opened his mouth to prophesy. And when he got through prophesying, he gave it all to Jacob, which he wanted to give to Esau. And when Esau came crying, the old man said, well, who did I bless? He said, that lousy scum Jacob, the supplanter. He said, did I? Well, he says, then I got news. I got to take it laying down. He shall be blessed. You mean that would stand in a court of law? The merging of the minds was not there? That was not a legal contract? You were fooled and duped, my father? That is not a legal contract. He said, son, shut up. It's a legal contract. In other words, he didn't have a thing to do with it. Now, that's how God operates in people. William Branham, you'll find in this message, will say, God told me to say it that way. William Branham wouldn't tell anybody off at any time over anything. I might, because I'm a complete idiot. I don't got enough brains to keep my mouth shut. But he could tell you the exact time how God said to say a thing, and he would say it. Now look, either you believe this word or you don't believe. If you are believing, I'm going to tell you right now, something is happening to you. Or your faith is spiraling up. If you're not believing, your faith is going down. And you will continue to go down, and you will never catch up to where the people who believe are today. That's on tape. I'm not asking to be taken off either. It's going to stay. Don't think me critical or a fool, brother, sister. And I'm not here to judge anybody and make you feel insecure or anything else. I'm telling you flat. You're past the day of fooling around. I'm past the day of fooling around. Although I fool around, God knows, in very various ways. But this is the truth I'm telling you. I'm open to challenge. I don't mind. But I've never told you a lie in this pulpit yet. I haven't told lies, Jack Bells. I told people they would not leave that building unchanged. Every time, I've only said it four times, far to my knowledge, yes, sir. Never once has it failed. The personal testimony is there from complete changed lives. I've told you this morning, the plateaus will be coming closer. Something has happened, I'm telling you it's happened. I don't care if you know it. I talked to Lloyd years ago. Lloyd, something happened. He didn't know it. I'm not here like going to bed. I'm telling you, and I'm honest with you, that I am not my own. I am not yours either. You do what you want. I'm ready to answer to God. I got no problem. With Lee Vale, I got lots of problems. With God, I got no problem. With His Word, I got no problem. That is to say, it's His Word. It's not mine. It's like Brother Branham's vision. That's William Branham's vision. Don't try to palm it off on me. Don't tell me what it means, and don't ask me to tell you what it means. I don't know. Don't ask me to guess. But don't ask me to be like those who believe in return ministry. Brother Bosworth pulled my coattail in 1953. And he said, Brother Vale, I have prayed for the ministry of Christ to return to this earth for 40 years. There it is in that man. The return ministry came, and people are looking for something more. I don't know what's going to come, but the return ministry of Christ was in William Branham. Dr. Hoyer said, the church in Chicago, a little old storefront. He said, Brother Vale, I'd like to say something, but you promise you won't laugh. He said, Dr. Hoyer, why would I laugh? What he said I'm going to say is peculiar. I said, what is it, Dr. Hoyer? And I promise I will not laugh. He said, I believe from the study of the Word that the creative power of God will be in the bride before Jesus comes. I said, Dr. Hoyer, it's already come. I will not only laugh, I'll confirm it. Before Brother Branham died, Dr. Hoyer was going to be on the platform with him, the greatest Greek student perhaps that ever lived. There's a great student who could back everything up that Brother Branham said, right to the hilt. Serpent seed, everything else. While the little boys out here who know nothing but think they have a brain, I don't think they got a brain. In God's sense of the word, they might have something functioning up there. Turned down the truth, but a great man that studied with Dr. Ivan Pannon succeeded him. Could take a step by step. Harold Marcondes' dad, 80-some years of age. The only man living, to my knowledge, the only man I've ever run across who could take every word of Brother Branham step by step and believe it. I'm going to tell you, Brother, I don't care what background you came out of. It doesn't matter. Pentecostal, Methodist, Baptist. I'm a Pentecostal. Rank dyed in the wool from the age of 18. I could cut a rug as fast as anybody, climb a wall as any quick as anybody, flop on the floor, go into prophesy. Oh, yes, have vision and literally a trance, anything. You name it, brother, sister. I was right there with my Pentecostal cup of tea and jazzed up coffee with 1,000 beans in one cup. I was one of the strong ones. No, it's not that hard to get loose. Weed always will be a weed. I don't care where you go, where you can be grown in the Sahara Desert. You can grow up in the Colorado Mountains. Wheat's wheat. I don't care where you come out. Bring it out of the tombs of Israel. Wheat's wheat. Tares, tear. I don't care. Sure, now the prophecy of Balaam was all right. That was God. How many believe that? The prophecy of Balaam was exactly right because he couldn't speak anything but the truth. Let's take a look at that. Let me check over here in Deuteronomy 13. There's some curious things in the Bible, you know. People just don't want to believe this end time message of Brother Branham, this message of grace, the anointed ones of the end time. That, oh, listen, that was a soul saver to me. Man, I tell you, I owe so much to Brother Branham. 13th chapter, the first verse, if there rise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet. Now it tells you he's a prophet. An absolute phony baloney. in the economy of God. But he's in the economy of God to prove the people. And he's got signs and wonders legitimate. And they come right to pass. Therefore, he is anointed of Almighty God. Then he takes them right off the truth. What about that? The Bible says, kill him. Bolt him out of your church. Get yourself another pastor. Do something. Now let's go to the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy. This is the place where God is going to raise up a prophet like Moses. Furthermore, that you're going to test the prophet. Now notice in verse 20, but the prophet which shall presume to speak of word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. But if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? Now you've got to ask this question and be aware of the conditions. Lord God, I'm confused. Give me something to go by. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, all right, in the name of Jehovah, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Allah, Elohim, I don't care what you say. We would say Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's it for today. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is going to happen. Then if it's Jesus Christ in the man, it's got to happen. Then you listen to that man. He will not lead you astray. Balaam didn't have it. All right? The anointing of God wouldn't speak anything else but what was exactly right. And God vindicated by proving it was the truth. What was the truth? What Balaam said. But it was the teaching of Balaam. Now compare that with Matthew 24:24, and that gives you the perfect picture. There shall arise false Christ and deceive all but the very elect. This is the tight corner of the end time. Now listen to me. You're looking at the ark that Noah made, a prophet made to get people into it. And God gathers his people by the prophet. So therefore, in 2 Thessalonians, the gathering together before the Antichrist, unto Christ, has to be by a prophet. Then if you turn down the prophet, you turn down the word, you turn down God. Now listen, it's either that simple or forget your Bible, let's get out of here. For God's sake, it's too muddled. You've got to get down to simplicity sometime. From the Philadelphia lawyers and the PhDs. To pile their dogmas higher and deeper until they weave a web they can't get out of and nobody else gets out either. Matthew 24:24. See, God has a special way to vindicate his teaching. It's vindicated. Anointed ones, but their teaching is false, such as Trinitarian teaching and all those other things. Wrong, Antichrist. I hope your feelings don't get hurt. And don't turn off those phones. He's on a hookup, see? And don't get up and go to the church. Just sit still and let's see if the Holy Ghost won't reveal it unto us and prove it to us. You say, but I, just whatever you believe, just sit still and listen. Ask God to open your heart. Then you'll find out whether you're a briar or a thistle, wherever you're standing. Now, what do you want to do about it? So, well, I don't have to believe that prophet. That's right, you don't have to believe that prophet. Bless your heart, you don't believe one single thing about him. Nobody's going to compel you. What if I took a club and said, all right, or hot lead, like used to do the Catholics, Incas down there in Mexico. I'm going to pour hot lead in your mouth if you don't say it. What good would that do? Your thoughts would be screaming to God. And what if you got driven to where they drove to the extent and you just lost your mind pretty well, you see, and you confessed opposite with your mouth? God still knows your heart and your mind. I'm not saying anybody would do that. But this is the word test that Brother Branham spoke of. You see? Now look, these men up here like Balaam can prophesy correctly apart from thus saith the Lord. And they have signs to back them up, but they're off their revelation. See? Now, somebody in the church, Brother Branham knew was fighting him as somebody on the line because he could discern and know it. Which is all right. He didn't mind that at all. Now, Let's just take a little peek in here of Matthew, I beg your pardon, Timothy, and look at that seed to see just exactly how this prophet comes and the word comes to this day and what it has to do with you and me. In other words, the dissemination thereof and this seed test, this word test. All right, 2 Timothy, the second chapter, a couple of verses. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now there's your word test right there. Okay. 1 Timothy 6, 1 to 5. Let as many as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine in his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof come envy, strife, reelings, and evil surmisings, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such draw thyself away. Now you know as well as I do that this is that age to draw themselves away for money. I don't want to keep harping about poor old Oral because I've kind of always admired the guy. He's had a lot of guts. He stuck his neck out where other people wouldn't. You got to admire people like that. He's done more as one man than with Billy Graham. Do you compare Oral Roberts to Billy Graham? Billy Graham is a piker. Absolutely a piker. Because he had everybody backing him. Oral had a few Pentecostals. Rich increased in goods, and they belted the money to him. But you know what? He had to go toward money. They all go toward money. William Branham was the only one that didn't go toward money. He refused it. The meeting in Florida, I got up and I spoke against money. I said, look, we only need a few cents each. We got it made. We've already got money in the till. And Manley said, Reverend Bailey, he said, how is it you pay money down when everybody else pays it up? I said, because we don't need it. The money's not the gospel. This man's not here for money. He's here because God sent him here. Well, he said, I got to hand it to you. How do we got converted or not? But he sure got converted. There were some people standing up who didn't want money. Not that everybody doesn't want money needed, just like everybody wants love. But if you got to have love at the expense of the word, forget it. Take it someplace else. That's what we're looking at. We're fair and simple. So, all right. Now, just whatever you believe, just sit still and listen and ask God to open your heart. Then you'll find out whether you're a briar or a thistle. Now listen. How does that fall on the ears of denominationalism? Well, that's something was there. But you know how these guys get. They think you're Elijah. Anybody knows I am. Or we are. He said, briar or thistle. Now I'm going to ask you a question. We're going to get down to where I'm nice, as usual. And that is this. This is the nice part of this message. Here is your test. To whether you have it or you don't have it. Now, if that's not grace, that you've just got to sit and listen to what is vindicated, which is the truth of God in the way God always brings truth, always has and always will, and is plunked in your lap, and that's not grace. You tell me what grace is. There's only one string to grace. One string to grace. Take it or leave it. That's all grace is. Take it or leave it. You don't got nothing to do with it. You didn't think it. If you did, you didn't anyway. You wouldn't have the guts to ask for it. You wouldn't have the brains to ask for it. You'd be scared to ask for it. There'd be no way you'd get it outside God gave it to you. Then he'd have to be good enough to open your eyes because you're too stupid to see it. And open your heart because you're too stupid to believe it. And open your soul because you're too stupid to receive it. Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
Lock, stock, and barrel has started way, way back that in God to put in you something that would respond. That's grace.
Amen.
The message of grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Old Jackie Gleason sent the tenor. Everything in the world. All was poisonous. How sweet it is, said Jackie. Everything. The commas. The stars. The expressions. The economics. Churchianity. Everything points to this message. Vicars. Conduits. Popes, trickle down. Everything points to this message. There is nothing that doesn't show you that we have not only the substance, we have the description of the substance. For Jesus was the description of the substance of God. We have a complete word, dissertation, of what we have. An exact study, an exact case description. Go to any place today and ask for a job. All the jobs they have are what they call job descriptions. And they look what you put down to see if you fit the job. There's a body description and a place description this morning. And you can tell whether you fit in that body or not by the simple test. Open your heart. You'll find out whether you're a briar or a thistle. Do you understand anointed ones at the end time? Can you see through it? Now, even Judas, as ordained to the condemnation as he was, sat there before Jesus, and Jesus told him, you are the one. Whatever you're going to do and whatever you've got to do, do it quickly. He, knowing what he was doing, but for those 30 pieces of silver in popularity, sold the Lord Jesus to Christ. Sold the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now listen. He just said, you know in your heart. Right now, open your heart and you'll know whether you're a thistle or a briar. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, open the door, I'll come into him. And right there he said, now you people that are briars, you Judases. But why did he bring up Judas? Ordained to the condemnation, he said, what you do, do quickly. In other words, people get off the fence. Now, some of you sitting here, you wonder, just wait. Just you say, well, I can't believe this, brother. I can't believe it. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you. You're sitting on a fence.
Yes.
And I tell you, I have sat on a fence, and I would sooner sit on a camel. Fences aren't nice to sit on. They hurt and they're precarious. And some bird can come by and knock you off on the wrong side. So if I were you, I would get off the fence one side or the other and make up your mind. You say, Brother, are you telling me that I should get in around? Well, practically. Practically, I'm trying to help you make your mind up. Don't play around. Look, you don't expect me to play around as a minister, do you? I can't stand ministers who play around. I can't. Make up your mind which way you're going. It's not that hard. Oh, it's not easy, but it's not hard either. You say, why not? Well, you look back and what's so bad? You're like the woman who had a baby. Ooh, that was bad, she said, the pain. But look, a lovely child. She forgets the pain right away because she's got a lovely little boy or girl. Right? Certainly. I feel the same way about my ministry. I've had my tough spots. Oh, brother, sister, they have been downright excruciating. But the baby's born. The ministry's here. What's the big deal? No big deal. The ministry's everything. There is one. I suppose there is. Hopefully. See? I said, what are you going to do quickly? Get in quickly. The door of the ark could close. You didn't know he was going to appear. You didn't know that he was appearing. Somebody had to tell you. You might find out too late the door's closed. Make up your mind he's trying to get to you. That's what he's saying here. He, knowing what he's doing, turned around and sold up for the silver and the gold. Right. So do these men. So do congregation members. One of his disciples that treasured the church, Jesus called him his friend. That's true. And he gave Jesus an affectionate kiss. See, the Bible said he was born the son of perdition. Now watch something here, because we're talking about twins. The Bible says he was born the son of perdition, just the same as Jesus was born the son of God. Twins. And he said there's twins right today. It starts with Cain and Abel. And it goes all the way through Esau and Jacob. And right up to Christ and Judas. One was the son of God. One was the son of perdition. One God inhabited. The other, Satan, actually took Judas over and lived in him as personal vehicle. As Jesus was the personal vehicle of God Almighty, Elohim, so Judas was the personal vehicle of Satan. Which side are you on? Balaam's or the prophet? Okay. Now, according to what the type here, we can see the false teachers are amongst us. Don't put them way down there somewhere. I got a certain guy's tapes. He's quoting me, but he can't quote me. He uses my very phraseology. Look, come on, kid. There's only one Lee Vail in the world, and his phraseology, it's horrible, but it's his. And no man living will use it outside of me. I believe that with all my heart. I'm not trying to make a name for myself, but I'm giving myself a bad name here. Because of my X-rated ways of doing things. God don't pull my punches. But he can't tell it as he is. He can't tell it. He's still mixed up on the baptism and the baptizer. He's still back there. The woman holds up the teaspoonful of sperm and she said, "That's my husband." That is not her husband. That was the emission from her husband of life to give life to a child. God is not that little tiny bit. Your baptism. God is the baptizer. We have received of his life. Which simply means that God has now taken his spirit and infused you with that to bring forth life. Because all life actually is spirit, as I understand it. It's a spirit of some kind. Sure. But when it's coded, you talk about a life. John said, we handle the life. Didn't he handle the spirit? He said, we handle the life. That light became flesh. They don't understand. They'll never understand. What are the false ones here to do? They're here to destroy us. Funny, you know, you can talk to a man. You say, what would you do if a man came into your house to rape your wife and to mug her and everything else and bust you up and take your money? What would you? Well, by the grace of God, if I had a gun to blow his head off, or a 4x4, I'd smash his head in. You would, really? No, you wouldn't do that. No way. Because you love these false anointed ones that will condemn your soul to hell forever and ever. Not just rape your wife and take your goods and bust your head in. So why don't you love that guy? I mean, I'm to love him raping my wife? Sure, go ahead and love him. You know, somebody's crazy. Somebody is crazy. I don't care what religious background you got. I don't care what background you is. You don't believe in your content trajectory. Well, Brother Branham wasn't. Today I'm not. I can't see it. But if you are, be a good one. Then how can you put up with false anointing? There's something wrong somewhere, brother, sister. I don't say to cause a war and start a fight. I'm just saying, hey, bud, you're fighting for your eternal life. You're fighting for substances beyond. The Bible says, fear not him that destroy body. That's nothing. But fear him destroys body and soul in hell. So I'm looking up for myself. I'm trying to teach you people here. No, you're not. This is not a hate program. This is opening your eyes program. Don't get yourself embroiled in the fight. Sidestep. Don't have to even blow the guy's head off. Don't worry about that. Just have nothing to do with it. I got caught in my hand years and years ago because I mentioned names and called the bluff on a certain guy. Oh, the congregation got mad. Remember, Bill? Old Hankins came through with these crazy lies. He said, my God, what a mixed up hombre. And a bunch of folk got mad because they thought he was the greatest in the world, and I called his hand. Now, they're all gone God knows which way. And I've watched their tracks they made. Two souls, this, that, and the other thing. I'm not against the two souls. They can have four souls for all I care. I don't get ripped. But don't bring your harem scarem in here. You can have several wives and pretend blame it onto God. God doesn't take any pride in the legs of a man. He's loaning to any place else either. Got some Aphrodite religion? Blame it onto God? Something wrong with people. Whatever you got to do, you should do it quickly. Deceive the elected. What time you got? Well, we'll start with another type next time we come together, which will be Wednesday at 7:30. But we'll end off here. And mentioning this, according to what we see here, they are amongst us. Brother Branham, literally, through discernment, is bringing forth the office of a judge. And that comes through Matthew 12, where he comes to the Gentiles in the form of the Holy Spirit. And we'll go over it so we can close off. And it says here, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, spoken by Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, and I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive, nor cry, nor any man hear his voice in the street." Now, cry means to clamor or to cry out. And, of course, to strive means to wrangle or debate. And he doesn't do that in the street. He did it when he was in the flesh, in Jerusalem. But he doesn't do it to the Gentiles. So you know he's talking about the Holy Spirit. A bruised reed he shall not break, the smoking flax not quench, till he sent forth judgment to victory. He's telling you right there there's going to be a judgment, a vindication, and it's going to bring a victory. And he will not break the reed and snuff up the smoking flax. He did it to Israel, but not to us. Destroy not the oil and wine. That little tiny, tiny flicker of light, those few little saints, he comes and pours oil on them, cleans them up, and gets them ready for rapture. And Brother Branham says right here, and he's telling you, now let's watch it. The same book of Matthew said, "Be his fan is in his hand, John the Baptist, he'll thoroughly purge his floor, gather the wheat in the garner, but the chaff he burns with fire." That did not happen when he was here in flesh. It's going to happen now. Judgment has struck the earth. I know it doesn't appall you. It doesn't appall me. I'm going to tell you one thing, brother, sister. All you've got to do is recognize what is going on. Whether you really feel it or not is not the point. If you recognize it and believe it from what has been told by a vindicated prophet, you will get those feelings. You will have the depth of understanding. You will be a part of it. Because you are the conduit. Let me put it very simply. When God made that body for Jesus, God came in and dwelt in it. And when God made you and I for this portion of His Word, He will come by His life and indwell it, and we will be those vessels. We will be those Christs. We will be those Messiahs, as Brother Branham called. We will be that Mrs. Jesus. You say, well, I wish more people believed it. I'm going to be honest with you. If more people believed it, I'd quit believing it. Amen. If I know something's wrong. I've been scared over the last years that too many people believe what we believe here. If you understand the way I understand it, then you believe as I believe. There's no two ways about it, because there's an understanding involved. Then I hear them talk. They don't know what we're saying. That doesn't make us anybody. Look, don't think we're trying to sell you a bill that goes, "Hey, you stick with Levi, you got something made." Brother, sister, that is not true. That is not what I'm saying. I am saying, look, according to Scripture, the evidence that I see worked out according to the prophet is right on line with the Word. And if it was off the Word, I would have to draw back and say, "Hey, folk, I got to re-examine my position." And I have examined my position thousands and thousands of times. Pondered it by the hour, day and night. I cannot retreat when I get up here in this pulpit. I cannot say anything but what I constantly say. There's no way I can change it. There's no way I'm going to change it. Why? Because it's too late. It's too late. My door, whatever it has been shut. I put my ear against whatever doorpost is there. I don't know where I'd go to. I just don't. And frankly, I don't want to. I don't want to. Shall we rise? Gracious Heavenly Father, as we go to our homes this noon hour, we pray, Lord, you go with us and with a comforting grace that we mean to bring forth literally in each little message we bring concerning the word that Brother Branham brought us. To warn, but on exhort, but also to stabilize and to give great cause for rejoicing. As when Brother Branham preached the sermon at Thanksgiving, he said, "This is my Thanksgiving message, great cause for rejoicing." To know that it is this union time, this invisible union. And Lord, the world never knew when you came, the world never knew when you appeared to us, the form of the Holy Spirit manifesting yourself. The world does not know what is going on. But Lord, we know there's always a little group that does know. And by grace and thoughts of grace and mercy, Lord, it's a pretty good sized group when it's spread around the world. For Lord, when we consider the 1 billion Christians that are in Christendom today, we realize that amongst those, there are just literally almost a complete billion who never even heard the name of William Branham. Whoever heard anything that came anywhere near what we understand to be the revealed truth of this word, Lord, what it's all about. And Father, we're sorry for them. We admit that we'd love to just be able to go to every single person, and see every single person come into what we believe to be the truth. But Lord, if we knew that if everybody did it, we know that isn't the way it's going to be. It's supposed to be, Lord. We understand that. And we do not take joy in it, Father. There's no way we could take joy to see anybody go down. We might think we could, but when the day came to see them go down, we'd try to get in the way so they couldn't go down. We know that, Lord, but we also know, Father, that you said that straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and if you were going to be that find it. As it was in the days of Noah, Lord, in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, there just wouldn't be too many. And Lord, it may be that we're not in that group either. There's even fewer than we think. I don't know. But Lord, at this moment we have identified ourselves, whether right or wrong. We certainly have identified ourselves with what is said here, and we know there's a true prophet. We believe that, and we follow him. We try the Lord. We believe that. And so, our Father, we pray that whoever it is amongst us that does believe, and whoever it is that doesn't believe, that somehow, Lord, that whoever's right or wrong will be, the wrong will be converted to truth, and the right will be more firmly established. So that there won't be one of us, Father, who misses out on that great day whatsoever. Help us, O God, to see this, and help us to be meek, mild before you, Lord, more concerned concerning your glory than concerning ourselves, O God, even that. Concerned about others, Lord, lest at any time we not only let things slip ourselves, but in some way somebody else lets something slip. So that we as one people are going on, Lord, to that kingdom. We know the body's really one unit of many members. And Father, we'd love to have the unity of the Holy Spirit amongst us and the grace of God as never before. So help us attain to that, Lord. Let every spirit now, Father, come into submission to the spirit that was in the prophet as he could stand there and say before thousands of people, "I take every spirit in this building under my control in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of God." Father, I can't do that. I wouldn't even believe every minute. I wouldn't know how to respond to it if a voice from heaven told me to do it. I wouldn't know. But Lord, I do know that I'm asking you that that spirit that Brother Branham had, which is the spirit of God, that spirit of prophecy, take control of all of our spirits in this building to bring us right in line with your spirit. That Lord God in heaven, as much as possible, there'll be so little difference between the two of us in whatever realm you set us in, that you'll be completely pleased with us, Father, on the grounds that we have been crucified with Christ, and yet we're living in the Spirit of God. Lord, we don't expect ever to be pleased within ourselves until we awaken in your likeness, because we know that's just not possible.
But, Father, we can have such faith and such joy in releasing your word that we can be perfectly satisfied with you and what you've done and what you're doing. And we rejoice that somehow we're a little part of it and we're growing up into that position that you want us to be in. So, Father, that's our prayer this morning. Grant it, we pray, and we'll give you all the honor and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.